on Toxic Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for October 23rd. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Puya. How you doing, Puya?
I'm doing good, Taryn. For one last time, we get a Puya Friday this season, and we'll probably not get to talk about much, but as always, we'll make a good time of it, I'm sure.
Final Puya Friday of the season.
Oh, yeah. We've come a long way, Taryn. Since August, we've been on this voyage, and today's the day we put the anchor down. I think that's the phrase. We'll just run with that.
The anchor's been dragging for the last 2 months.
The anchor's been dropped for a minute, but we're finally giving it.
We've just been dragging it along the seafloor. We are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 79 in the house. So few left here. You know, for as little as there is to talk about every day in terms of updates. First of all, this does happen every season. But second, yeah. I'm going to miss it at least.
I mean, here's the thing, right? No matter what your outlook is on the season as a whole, whether you enjoyed this ride, you despised this ride, you were happy, you were sad, you were frustrated. This is all an experience entangled altogether. You get episodes, you get feeds, you get live feed updates that are now a key cog in all of it. And for you, I imagine it's worse because you're here every day. So I feel like you're getting close to 3 months. What does your body think the day that you don't have feeds anymore? Is it like confused? Are you in a way of like, what am I going to do now? I feel like you're just completely entangled in all this.
Well, my body is going to be like, oh, sleep. And my mind is going to be like, oh, where is everyone? I'm lonely.
Where are my friends at?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what happened yesterday on the feeds. Not much. But we did see that Cody evicted Christmas. We saw that. And then after that happened, the feeds came back post part one, the final three, HOH, and the winner of part one of the final three, HOH, is Nicole Franzel.
Yeah, I nearly went and took the sound drop from yesterday's update when you were like, yeah, we'll see, you know, Cody won. Like, who's Cody going to take? Yeah, Nicole won against, well, to me, in my opinion, I didn't think it was going to be happening, but Nicole wins part one, despite talking about throwing it to Cody if need be, despite all those promises. Here we are. I mean, by the sounds of it, we had the you're hanging in the spinny thing and you're spinning and there's goo being shot at you. So,
yes, apparently it was spinny discs and Cody and Enzo were really getting nailed by the thingy that, you know, you bump into when it spins you around. And Nicole was just like breezing by it every time. It didn't last very long. I wasn't sure. I didn't catch who came in second place.
I also haven't caught that. Like, that wasn't really mentioned. I'm assuming if Nicole was genuinely going to throw it, then Cody would have gone out first, but then Enzo's been in his feelings, so maybe Enzo went out first. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's ambiguous at best at the moment.
Yeah. So I will say, Nicole did tell Cody she was willing to throw part one of the final three HOH. They never really, like, locked that in. Kind of figured that if she was going to, that, you know, if, say, Enzo goes down first, then they maybe have a conversation where it's like, okay, now you can throw it. But typically when this happens, when you throw part one of the final three HOH, you talk about it a little bit more. It was mostly just like an offer that Cody was like, okay. So it seems like it never really locked down. But, you know, still interesting. She did go for it, and they haven't talked about it after the fact either. I don't think Cody really expected her to, I think is probably the thing here.
I mean, ultimately, why would anyone buy that? Because at the final three, you're trying to get your win like everyone's trying to get their win. So I feel like erring on that side of caution, regardless of what kind of offers or wordings you're getting, is probably best. I am seeing a couple of people saying that Enzo said he went down quickly and went down first. So that probably tracks. I would have guessed that way as well. So that works out.
Mm-hmm. So Nicole as the winner of part one, I actually think this is, in a way, better for Cody. You know, I think that Cody is much more likely to beat Enzo in a part two competition. That if it is some kind of climbing thing or something like that, we talked about how Enzo might actually have an advantage over Nicole given his height and his reach. That will not be the case with Cody. I think Cody can pretty much beat Enzo in any kind of competition that that they would throw at them in part two, which means that Nicole and Cody would be locked in for part three. I still believe that Nicole is taking Cody. So this could actually be better for Cody, assuming that Nicole is still doing that, assuming that Cody can beat Enzo in part two, which is not ever a complete given. But it would be hard to figure out where, like, Cody would have to, like, screw up. Like, he'd have to, like, panic and, like, get a question wrong and, like, just screw it all up. Or, like, it would have to be a competition about who can say yo the most, you know?
A yo off? Yeah, that could be his bread and butter. I do agree with you. I think it's like a 90-10 Cody to Enzo ratio of who's going to take this. I think that just the combination of sheer, like, most likely climbing with the knowledge of the days and stuff, I feel like Cody's better in both of those things, way better. There was a moment last night where, like, Enzo was kind of like trying to study him like to himself, and he kind of says that he's effed. So I think he kind of recognizes it too. And again, short of a miracle, I do feel like this is curtains on Enzo potentially. Again, maybe Nicole has this newfound, like, I don't know what the word, premonition that, hey, maybe I do get rid of Cody. Maybe I'm too close. It's too sweet. Maybe I guarantee that. But Enzo would have to pull a big rabbit out of the hat to stay in this at this point.
Yeah. So, you know, we talked about how Cody felt a little more comfortable with Enzo, that he felt like Enzo was more likely to take him. I still think he's wrong about that. But that kind of indicated that maybe he was leaning toward taking Enzo. But I also talked about how the winner of part two or part one is potentially the person that he's more likely to take. I think the fact that Nicole will now be sitting in part three, if she's sitting up next to Cody, I do think that gives her a huge leg up over Enzo in terms of who Cody might take if he wins, just because they can really, like, make a deal with each other and just, like, lock it in and continue to promise each other a lot more than he promises Enzo, because Enzo can't win anymore, and that there will be more reluctance to break that kind of a deal. Like, maybe he'll lose her vote or her friendship or whatever. And so I think he's a lot more likely to take Nicole to the final two at this point. That said, he is talking in the diary room about how this time is different and he's not going to bring whoever he's bringing based on loyalty. He's going to bring it based on his own selfish game interests. I just don't think there's that much of a difference between the two of them in terms of who he takes. So that's why I do feel like ultimately loyalty may come into play here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, at the end of the day, the biggest bargaining chip for Cody to play with is whoever wins, I strike that deal, they strike it back, and that's it. I don't even have to really worry myself. And I think that's the sweeter deal to take. That's the easier one to take. I also think that someone like Nicole, who they've talked about, she constantly talks his ear about, hey, I don't mind going to the end with you and losing to you. We'll all collect a bag, me, you, and Derek. That's good. I feel like Nicole's the type of person to maybe not be able to look Cody in the face and cut him. Personally, between the two, between Enzo and Nicole. So this, I think, couldn't have worked better for Cody if we're talking about the best case would have been him just winning the part one and being the guaranteed part three person. Nicole winning is probably the better choice for him between her and Enzo.
Yeah, it's one of those situations. We talk about this in the final three HOH all the time, where it's often in the interests of one of the players to throw part one. Like when in Big Brother Canada 7, it was like, if Dane could throw part one to Anthony somehow, he has a much better chance of beating Kira in part two than he does in part three. So I'd rather face Kira in part two than part three. So theoretically, it might be best for him to throw, but it's always difficult to like actually take that kind of a risk. And so you never really do it. You always just take the win in part one, but this is a situation where it seems like it may have been forced on Cody that this mm-hmm. could be his best case scenario, but we will also now see the risk of it, which is you could actually end up losing to Enzo in part two. I will say, if Nicole does cut Cody, you know, we've been talking a lot about like Cody winning it's boring, but it's like, at least it's fitting. At least it like suits the season. It's not like we didn't waste the entire thing. But given how much Nicole has been gassing Cody up about taking him and losing to him and all of that, if she had been playing him the whole time, like that would be pretty amazing. I don't think she is playing him now. I think that if she does cut him, it would be like a last minute changing of her mind of like, I actually can't do it after all. And that's just mm-hmm. kind of like such a perfect example of how Nicole is as a player, which is like you want to give her more credit than she's able to take. But it's still like that's still her. And it would still be interesting, I think, if she cut him. I think the worst result is probably if she takes him and loses and then ends up somehow beating him. Like she gets those like five votes of like Devon, Ian, Kevin, David, and Christmas. Like, you know, it's theoretically possible. That's probably the worst ending to the season, in my opinion. I think you gotta cut him and win. That's the way to go, I think.
Quadruple sign. Yeah, I think that if this is to happen, if we are slated for a two-time Nicole timeline, I think Cody has to be cut. Because I feel like, especially after last night's jury segment, literally, it couldn't be clear. The bounty is on Cody's neck. You get him out, we'll give you the win. So if she doesn't get him out and still gets the win, that would burn a little bit more than how a win would have already burnt for your boy. I just really, I'm also a firm, I don't want a two-time winner. I want more new winners. So, and I don't want Nicole to win it. So again, all these things, personal reasons, I think that it shouldn't happen. Also, can we quickly talk about, Taryn, how Enzo probably has had the worst 5 hours in his time in the house last night with getting roasted by Christmas. Congrats on third place. And then kind of seeing that start to manifest itself by being in this position with the HOH comps. Not a good time to be Enzo, really.
Yeah, Enzo was very upset. He not only that, he cried in the diary room, and he was like, I'm not even upset about losing the comp. I'm upset I cried in the diary room. I showed weakness, which is just like really, Enzo, you're going to be that blatant about this? Like this poor man is. Like somebody needs, I don't know, Enzo, it's okay to cry.
Absolutely.
It's okay to use teapots. It's okay to not eat meat. None of these things make you less manly. You're fine.
Yeah. Enzo, it's 2020. You need to put some of these to bed. My dad, also a big supporter of the Men Don't Cry timeline, so I was like, Dad, I'm going to prove you wrong. this is a normal thing. So yeah, Enzo needs to get more in touch and let himself be and feel what he needs to feel and not hold himself to the standard of like, if I do it, I'm weaker as a person.
Mm-hmm. So he said, well, whatever, yo, I'm tired, yo. I'm ready to get on a flight and go home, yo. That's it. I'm tired, man. This is too long, yo. I'm exhausted. I am exhausted. I just want to get out of here, yo. If I don't win this next one, I'm done.
I mean, this, you know, this is a little bit more the fatigue of playing the whole game all the way through. He's about, what, a decade older since his last stint on Big Brother. Even though he's in probably the best physical shape he's ever been in the house, this still takes a toll on your body. It takes a toll on your psyche. And like to go through the stuff last night, Christmas in public calls him out for being third place. He goes into this comp. He gets You know, he goes out early, DQ or not. And then he's in his feelings. He just saw his kids on video. All of it's manifesting. And really, it's kind of, you know, giving Enzo the worst feelings he's had all season. Because obviously, so this point, Taryn, he's been relatively comfortable. Stock prices have been showing it all season. He's never really had to be in a position of hard times. And I can only imagine that he's replaying that moment, Taryn, that coveted moment in the triple where he could have taken out Nicole. And look at Nicole now, part three guaranteed and potentially could be his demise.
Yeah. And we talked about this last night that, you know, for a while now, it seemed like Enzo has just run out of steam. And and this is just the, you know, he is just completely out of gas here. If you look at the Enzo of the first couple weeks, you know, the way that he even just communicated with people, told so many stories, you know, just hanging out, so full of energy and enthusiasm, to the Enzo of the last few weeks, who's just been like, I feel like he's wanted out for a while, to be honest. And not wanted out because he's like playing the game. He loves the game, but like he has not wanted to be there for a while. He has needed a respite here.
Yeah, he needed a reset at some point. I mean, look no further than the usage of vocabulary. It's really come down to like four syllables, and that's all Enzo is at this point. He's a shell of who he used to be, but he's almost there. He just needs to realize he's almost there. He's got to put everything he has in this one competition to have a chance on Wednesday, recuperate by Wednesday and do something with it. But I can't help but, you know, we're going to look back at this and we're going to be like, yeah, Enzo kind of ended up taking his foot off the gas as well. He just couldn't shake it by the end.
And I will say, like, I think that people like history, if Enzo goes out in third place here, history will remember Enzo as like, what a failure. But I mean, he's one competition away from winning this game.
Absolutely.
Man. Which is pretty close. And if Nicole isn't here, like who else is here? Tyler, Memphis, like all of these people beat him in the final three HOH. Like his entire game has to be completely different. Not just the Nicole triple eviction thing, in my opinion. Nicole was the weakest competitor in the game at that point, other than maybe David. Like even then, like, okay, so maybe he's able to beat David in like a part two of the final three HOH, and then he loses in part three. Like the bottom line here is that Enzo just couldn't stack up in the competitions. He wanted to, and he wasn't able to so far. And that more than anything, I think, is his downfall here.
Yeah, and again, I do think that he mentioned it last night. This was the worst comp he's ever been through. So if this was another comp, maybe he would have had a shot at it potentially. Obviously, I would have never thought Enzo could do really, really well in an endurance ultimately. But this might have been the worst combination for him as far as the endurance comps go as well. Mm-hmm.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So Nicole, Cody, and Enzo, they talk for a bit. Enzo says, after this, yo, I'm not talking to anybody, yo. All those like podcasts and stuff, they reach out to you. I'm going to be like, no way, yo. I'm just going home. I'm just talking to my kids. I'm not even going to answer any texts, yo. I'm done with it.
I think it's a healthy decision. Obviously, I was about to answer, be like, listen, this is the Enzo we wanted, and now I can't believe we're not getting him. This is the 100% healthy decision. Completely disconnect for a couple months even. Reconnect with your family, with your kids. Decompress. And then if you're still like chomping at the bit to talk a little bit about this stuff, the podcasts aren't going anywhere. The interviews aren't going anywhere. They'll come to you. So I think this is 100% mentally the healthy decision for him and any house guest, honestly, coming out of the house. Do not jump on social media and the media in general to begin with, because it's going to be a storm of sorts.
Yeah, I mean, it's always weird after the season because they get hounded by like people that people are always like, Taryn, where are the interviews? I'm like I'm not going to just like they just got home. Yeah. I'm not going to be that person that's hounding them. You know, I'm sorry, but it's just the way it is. Nicole says that from her message, she says, Victor, he's played this game before. He knows how these work. He knows that I'm going to dissect his message, and what he told me was that this is one of the hardest things he's ever done. That definitely means something. What does that mean?
It means, Nicole, he's in a relationship. He misses his partner and he's in isolation. That's it. It really isn't much more to it. Detective Nicole, every piece of evidence she gets from the outside, she has to like slice it open, put it under a microscope and figure it out. Genuinely watching that, I kind of, you know, I feel like the first two messages we saw from Enzo's kids and from Cody's partner, I didn't get, it felt a little bit more rehearsed with Victor for some reason to me, but also not in a way that there was a message in it. I just think he knows that she's going to read too much. He was like, if I stay neutral and monotone, she might calm down and not really think much of this. And I can tell her I miss her, that it's been a tough time without her. It's been the hardest time I've been through, but I'm proud of her. But even then, it's not going to work out, Taryn.
I would not be able to handle this if I felt like that every little thing that I was saying was being read into in a way that wasn't meant to be read into, like every time. And I get that, like on Big Brother, she's going to read into things more. Like if this translates to real life, just like how do they ever communicate? But like I get it, even on Big Brother, but like does she like she not realize that like he has feelings too, and that like he is just trying to make his partner feel better in his messages, and like he can't get it right, and he's probably like now like I would be terrified. I would be like, I don't even want to send a message anymore because I'm just going to make her feel worse. My only contribution to her season now is making her feel bad. Like this is terrible.
Yeah. Like you're actively doing the one thing you didn't want to do, which is giving more stress when all you were trying to do was remove stress and put in love. You know, like that's all that you're trying to do. Cause I think that everyone else gets their messages and they're like, I know they're going to say I'm loved. I know they're going to say keep going. I know they're going to say they're proud of me. Like I would expect to get that from anyone who would send me a message while I'm in the Big Brother house. No doubt. Because they're going to pump me up. That's all they're there to do is pump me up, remind me what I'm playing for. But I can't help with Nicole with the magnifying glass of being like, so the flower pot in the back was like 2 inches to the right since we last spoke. That means like maybe the sun has been moving. But like, is there been enough shade in the house? Like, what are you doing? Just take the love and move on. Take the compliments and move on. There is nothing else to see here, ma'am. Like,
yeah. you'd think that like her reading into the previous one, him not saying I'm proud of you, and then in this one saying I'm proud of you, is like, so don't read into this. Like I am proud of you. You just weren't seeing it correctly. So that happened. Nicole and Enzo, this is the last thing I've got for the day. Nicole and Enzo had an interesting conversation about Big Brother 18 late into the night. Nicole was talking about how it's very easy to sabotage somebody in the jury. It's very easy to do that. And that's exactly what Danny is doing to her right now. And Enzo is asking Nicole, okay, who would you have taken if you had won the final HOH on your season? And she says, I was going to take Paul. You never know in the moment, but I would have taken Paul. We had made an agreement. I felt like he deserved it more. He had played harder. We were close at that point. And I didn't want to take James. I wanted to stick to my agreement with Paul. James didn't do a lot, but I guess he was the most popular because Davon told me in here, which was new news to me, that James would have beaten both of us in the final two. And this is something that Davon did say this season. Davon, this is information that we got on the feeds. I honestly don't believe it. But Davon did say that James would have won against both Paul and Nicole in the final two in Big Brother 18. And Enzo says, you can't believe that stuff after the fact stuff. Like you can't believe none of that years later. Like, no. And I'm actually with Enzo on this one. I mean, I think the most generous way that you can look at this is that, okay, let's say even if Devon votes for James and Natalie flips her votes for James, which I would assume Natalie at least would. So then Devon does. Victor was definitely a vote for Nicole, and Paul was a vote for Nicole, unless you maybe say that Paul is burned. Like, let's say Nicole wins the part three and then she cuts Paul and takes James, and then Paul is burned, and so then Paul ends up voting for James. But Paul really didn't respect James's game. He wanted to sit next to Nicole because he thought she deserved it more. And so I kind of feel like Paul would have been a vote for Nicole anyway. I don't really believe that this is true. Let's say that Paul takes James. You can again say that Devon and maybe Natalie didn't vote that way. So maybe Devon flips for James, but I think that Nicole is for Paul, but that's actually not going to change it. So I guess theoretically could have lost to James as well, if Devon really feels that way. But this to me, again, it sounds very revisionist history to me, that right after the fact with like the interviews, like nobody was looking at James like he was a potential winner in the jury. So it doesn't feel right to me. But I think the implication here is that Nicole is talking to Enzo about how she would have held true to the deal that she made, to the relationship that she developed with Paul. She would have taken Paul, even though she thought she had a better chance against James. I thought I could beat James. I wasn't sure about Paul, but I took Paul anyway. Come to find out just this season from Devon that James would have won if I had taken him. So I ended up making the right decision after all. And this is so analogous to her current situation. I mean, what she's basically saying right now is that, look, in the situation I'm in right now, you might think that I have a better shot against Enzo, but the reason that James would have won is because he had more friends on the jury. He didn't piss anybody off as much, which is exactly where Enzo is right now. And if she's being loyal and she's staying true to her deal and her relationship, she would take Cody, who theoretically she'd have a lesser shot against. But going back to her own experience, if she goes that way, then she will have a better chance against Cody than against Enzo. And you can see Enzo like, wow, you can't believe that. James would have won. What? No. But this really is to me, again, just further evidence, further indication of where Nicole's head is at right now.
Yeah, I do think when all of this is said and done, that ultimately it's still like she's still leaning Cody. Because here's the thing, right? Let's pretend that she's going to assume now I'm going to lose to both of them, right? Who does she want to lose to? And the question that ultimately comes down to: the person she's been closest to, the person she's known for the longest time, the person that she still has some kind of a relationship with. Because the other thing is that in this scenario, she would be winning and making the ultimate choice as well, which she wasn't afforded in her season in 18, where she was taken by Paul. I do think it's very interesting, though, the duality of the James and Enzo side of things, where it's like, you were beloved. You might have been the chalk pick to take to the end, but you were beloved, so you could have won. I do think this is just more evidence for me that Nicole is firmly in the camp of I'm gonna take Cody if I win. So
yeah, and now I mean, I've been talking about how these, the jury results in the last few seasons have been accumulating and contributing toward this sort of like big alliance, stick together, stay loyal, take the big player to the end mentality. And now one of the few seasons where there was a supposed goat that you should have taken that person, and that you say, Paul, you should have taken James. Now that's being destroyed. Now everyone is saying that James would have won and that he made the right decision in taking Nicole and losing to Nicole. And it's only making things worse. That was like one of the few examples that we had. And now it's a perfect example in the other direction. Now it's telling Nicole she should take Cody to the end. It's like, what are we doing here?
I don't even know, Taryn. I don't even know, because like you, I don't know how much I buy this. I do think it's a lot of revisionist, but if that revisionist detail is going to add to the results of this season, like the result, the history of 18 is going to actively decide the result of 22. That would be fascinating to me. Fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, look, if Nicole takes Cody and beats Cody, we will never again see anybody cut everybody will be looking to take the big player to the end every single season for the rest of time.
Yeah, because the example will always be, well, remember, Nicole didn't do it and she got rewarded. You don't want to take someone lesser than you and lose to them now, would you? Like, it goes all the way back to the Victoria. You don't want to take the Victoria to the end. You don't. You will lose if you take the Victoria to the end. And this time it would have actually happened. I don't know if I'm ready for that era. I'm really not. I don't know if that evolution's something I'm ready for mentally. But we'll have to just wait and see what happens then.
Yeah. All right. That's basically Nicole says. Nobody knows what's going on in the jury. They're just going to make stuff up. That's what happens every season. They just make stuff up.
A jury just making whatever narrative they want fit, huh?
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens.
Yeah, did you like the did you enjoy what you saw from the jury segment? Or, and by that I mean, did you genuinely enjoy it? Because ultimately I think the information we got was Cody.
Yeah, that, I mean, very strongly in my opinion, we got Davon saying she's rooting for Enzo to make a move, which he likely won't be able to. So even if he does get taken by Cody, then what move did he make? He just got dragged by Cody. Tyler talking about not respecting Nicole's move at 4, Cody getting all the credit for Memphis being evicted, Kevin saying that he's hoping that Cody walks through the door because he knows how well Cody's doing, which very much felt like, I've got to give it to Cody if he makes it there. I just don't want to. And yeah, I mean, it just felt so strong, because again, this is one of the last jury segments we're going to get before the end. We are finding out who the final three is right now. This is the time you notice they barely mentioned Christmas, that Memphis mentions Christmas right at the end. But other than that, they're talking about Cody, Enzo, and Nicole. And yep, this is the time where they normally would throw a wrench in your previous assumptions, where you'd say, oh, we thought that Cody had this in the bag, but then we hear that that Davon really likes Enzo. Oh, maybe Enzo has a chance. But even in that segment, it's like, Enzo, if he makes a move. Okay, well, and we also heard that that David said it's possible for Nicole to win, and Danny got upset about it. What about that? Like that is the most that they are able to show us in favor of anybody but Cody. And that just tells me so much, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I do think that if we just look at the people they are now, not the people they were when some of these jurors said goodbye to them, we've talked extensively in this update alone about where Enzo's at with his vocabulary, with his mental. I do think that Enzo's someone that, yes, had great social game, yes, had good friends, had been making good bonds. But also, I don't think the final day Enzo is the same Enzo. I don't think he's going to be able to explain stuff as good. I don't think he's going to be able to handle the heat that he's going to get from the jury if he's at the end with Cody and they'll just like, you got dragged here. I don't think he's going to have a good defense for that. So that's all gone. I think that ultimately, everything that everyone wants in a winner and a player, Cody's given it to them better than the other two in a way. If you want comps, he's got you. If you want social, he's got you. His goodbye messages have been better than anybody else. He's definitely done everything you need to collect the W at the end against these two players as well. Obviously, with the Nicole one, it gets a little bit intriguing for me because the two-time winner of it all, she could potentially explain her stuff decently. We'll just have to wait and see there. But I think now more than ever, I'm just like, we're just waiting. Literally, once that Final Four veto happened, I'm like, we're waiting for that Cody win. It's just a matter of what's the journey? What's the story at the end here? How are we going to enjoy that ride into what we expect to happen?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just so hard to imagine because, you know, you've got somebody like Devon who was very upset about Nicole coming into the jury. And, you know, the best she had to say about Nicole was, this is what happened last time. Which isn't exactly a ringing endorsement. Mm-hmm. And when if I'm Devon and I'm looking at Nicole and Cody, not only does Cody seemingly play a better, more out in front game, but he also played a cleaner game. Like, he didn't burn her on that very personal level that she felt was unnecessary. So he not only played that stronger game, but also a you know, better jury management kind of game, and all of that. And so, and then you look at like Ian, who is another vote that Nicole would need to have. And Ian has been talking about, I've never heard him say a single thing about Nicole running the game. Cody's running the game. Cody and Tyler are running the game. Maybe Cody and Memphis are running the game. Cody's running the game. It's so hard. Now, again, things can change. And sometimes when the jury goes to deliberate and they because you can really talk yourself into anything, okay, now's the time to really think about what we're doing. Let's think about what are the arguments for Nicole, and you can really stretch and find all kinds of things to say. And now all of a sudden it looks like the both sides are equal. I could go either way. And sometimes that might bring you to the other side of things, and maybe they do end up changing their minds. But normally the starting point is a lot closer to center than what it appears to be here. And I think a big part of this is that there's a gate. There's a big gate in the way of, you know, giving Nicole credit. And the gate is, well, why didn't you cut Cody?
Right. That's a big one. It's a very, very big one. I've talked about other factors of her behavior in the house, her mannerisms in the house that will not help her at the end, which I don't think are as impactful or as important, given that she's going to be ending up next to a Cody most likely. But I've talked about her whole like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm stupid. I'm not great at this. I feel like whereas Cody's done kind of the opposite, Cody's kind of owned everything he can as he goes along, specifically, especially with the goodbye messages. I think he's done a phenomenal job of just highlighting everything that he's been a part of, every reason. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I knew about the wise guys. Okay. I knew it and I had to do it. Just, I hope you understand. Boom, move on to the next one. I do think that he's been able to articulate his stuff well. I think the competition wins have been something, have been good, but I feel like we can't overlook the fact that in this crop of three, he's the most well-rounded and he's got the best of all three sides than the others. So I think that her job is already going to be very hard, especially as a former winner. And when you have won one, they're going to be looking at you and be like, what did you do to deserve the second win? Did you excel? Did you go out of your way to get the second win? Or, okay, no, you stood behind Cody and Cody brought you here. So therefore, Cody should get the win. So it's a hard argument to make. Is she going to get flustered with the jury and then have a hard time of it? How is it going to come off? We'll have to wait and see. But if it's really a Goliath versus David, and Goliath is Cody if she's at the end with him, and she'll have a really hard time of it regardless.
Yeah. So that's where we are. Only 5 more days until that finale.
So we're getting there. And I'm assuming there. Likely part two is tonight, right? Typically tonight.
I feel like it might be tomorrow night. Okay. In the place of where the veto usually is.
Mm-hmm. Potentially than a slower day today, I imagine.
Yeah.
If there's not much else there, but yeah, exciting to see who gets part two and what happens there. I believe they had their like memory meal thing after last night's episode before the comp. So I guess you'd see that tonight, Taryn?
Yes, I would imagine so, yeah.
All right. Well, so. Yeah, I mean, this bigger indicator than any, there's nothing else that I want to bring up because there is nothing else to talk about. But no, Taryn, this has been a fun journey with you. BB22 live feeds, they've been slower than previous seasons. We've had less to talk about, but we always make a meal out of it. And I always love talking to you. I can't commend you enough, man. 79 days in, you're still here every day, whether it's 20 minutes, whether it's closer to an hour and a half. You've given us something every day. So I appreciate you. You get one thumbs up from me. Actually two. Why am I being greedy? Take two thumbs up. What am I? The thumbs up police, like, you get both. Okay.
Yes. Prepping your social game for Sunday when we play Among Us again.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. On Twitch. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong and Puya at Puyaism. We will be playing some more Among Us, impostering, murdering, lying.
That's sneaking. Right. Mm-hmm. Last time we played, I double killed Taryn as imposter, and I'm looking for redemption in rebuilding the relationship with Taryn. That doesn't suspect me moving forward. But yeah, no, it's going to be a good time, team. It's always fun. Sundays, a lot of familiar faces, a lot of people you've seen up here on the updates as well. So be sure to check that out. Guaranteed good time.
Yes. And of course, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on what happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. We'll be live tonight to recap the recap. Should be a lot of fun. Tomorrow night for the legacy, the final legacy watch that takes place in the season. So make sure you check that out. And then Sunday, we've got Among Us. And then Monday, there's an episode. And then Tuesday, a stock watch. And then Wednesday, the finale. So it's nonstop Big Brother until we reach the end of this. The final stretch. Check it all out. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Puya, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, as we mentioned. Puyaism on all three platforms. There was no Masked Singer this week, but there is a 90 Day Fiancé podcast out there. I talked with Sasha all about episode 16 of The Other Way. Check that out. And I was also the first ever guest on the NGOG New Girl Old Guy podcast with Ali Lasher and Akiva, looking at episode 10 of New Girl season 1. So be sure to find that and check that out too. It was a good time.
There you go. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. See you next time.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.